see your rivers on the mirrors and the smearing booty cheeks. Come on.
This is my favorite song. I sing along when the DJ throws it on. And if I leave here tonight and I fall asleep and wake up, hopefully she got some teeth. This is my favorite song. I sing along when the DJ throws it on. And if I leave here tonight and I fall asleep and wake up, hopefully she got some teeth.
Alright, what is happening, people? Blake Murphy here for the fifth installment of the On Deck Circle podcast. We do have a guest this week. His name's Paul O'Neill. He's coming on just a little bit later. But I'm going to spit hot fire by myself for a few minutes. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Warren, Paul, Pat, Eric, Derek, and Sean, who put on a fantastic event at Gmail the other night. I plugged in the podcast last week and was very excited about it. Wrote a very, very drunk article about it. When I got home Tuesday night, everyone had a lot of fun. Great job, guys. Just want to get that out of the way. And now, I don't want this to turn into a weekly bragging segment on the podcast, but this week we got linked to True Hoop twice. That's ESPN.com's basketball blog. So that's big news for us. The site's doing really well. We've got some new writers. We're covering lots of sports, so keep checking us out. So it's getting to be that time of year. It's March. Some of the snow is melting, not enough of it, but you all know what that means. It's March Madness time. So right now, it's championship week. For those of you who don't know, the 32 conferences in the NCAA Division I are having their tournaments, with the winner of each tournament qualifying for the March Madness tournament. 33 other teams receive at-large bids based on the selection of a committee, but that's mostly left up to in-season records more so than this tournament, and it's really all speculative with the exception of maybe 10 or 15 for sure teams. So this week's very important, championship week. There's a lot of teams who don't know if they'll get in, so they need strong performances in their championship tournament. Some of the teams that have already qualified include great, great favorites that'll probably be 15 and 16 seeds. Teams like Belmont, Portland State, Winthrop, Siena, Mount St. Mary's, Oral Roberts, Western Kentucky, and San Diego, who upset Gonzaga and St. Mary's coming out of the West Coast Conference. A few other teams that have qualified that you may have heard of before. George Mason, anyone remember them? They upset Virginia Commonwealth University, they didn't upset Virginia Commonwealth. Virginia Commonwealth lost to William and Mary in the semifinals, giving George Mason the opening to make it to Madness for another potential Cinderella run. Another team is Butler. They've gotten a lot of hype. They are still a mid-major and probably be the only team coming out of their conference. And Drake also made it. Davidson, who everybody I think knows at this point, the ODC loves because they have Del Curry's son, Stephen Curry, on their team. He's fantastic. He's putting up 25 points a game. Looking at the championship tournaments that haven't quite gone down yet, there's a lot of bracket speculation going on right now. And according to ESPN, the final four at-large teams that would just make the cut are Massachusetts, Illinois State, New Mexico, and Arizona State. This leaves a few snubs out. Primary ones being Ohio State, Florida, Virginia Commonwealth, who I said had a good enough resume to get in but lost in their conference tournament semifinals, and UAB. Right now, the way it's looking, the Big East and Pac-10 are going to lead everyone with seeds with 7 apiece. Just so everyone knows, Kevin and Alex gave me some crap for this. I do not hate on the Pac-10 or think they're the 4th best conference. I looked up a quick measure to see the conference rankings. I love the Pac-10. That article was hyping a player from the Pac-10. I just want to clear that up. I love them. USC, UCLA, they're all going to do big things. They are going to have probably 7 seeds by the time everything's done. The Big 12 is going to have 6. SEC is going to have 5. ACC and Big 10 are both looking for 4. But a lot of this is still highly speculative. The number ones it's looking like right now, and this should probably stay the same if each of these 4 teams wins their conference tournament: Tennessee, Memphis, UCLA, and UNC. Tennessee and Memphis should win their conference tournaments. UCLA and UNC are going to have a tougher road to get there. And the big conferences, their finals are going down this weekend. It's a great weekend. There's a pub golf Friday, and it's St. Paddy's Day Saturday night. And we've even got intramural basketball, first round of the playoffs on Sunday, and our ODC fantasy baseball draft on Sunday. So it's a great weekend when you throw in that the ACC, Big East, Big Ten, Pac-10, and SEC all have their conference championship games on Saturday or Sunday afternoon or night. It's going to be a great weekend, followed by Selection Sunday at 6 o'clock when everyone gets to find out the brackets and go mad filling out tons of them. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the podcast is going to get iced out because we're talking hockey. Paul O'Neill will be here.
pay a dime. I fucking two bitches at the same time. Then I hit the studio and write a rhyme. I call it Tramp Hoes Ain't Hard to Find. I took two bitches to a hotel. I told them both, you know I won't tell. Bitch, curiosity killed the cat. You gotta.
All right, we are back, and it got a little bit taller and a lot sexier in here. I'd like to welcome my guest at this time, the ODC's resident NHL expert, Paul O'Neill.
What's up, bitches? How's it going? We're going to talk a little hockey right now. Throw it back to Blake, set this up.
All right, now, Paul, you're a big Leaf fan. I know that Leaf fans are known for their homerism, but we've got to put that aside right now and talk NHL playoff picture. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. It looks like six teams are in pretty much guaranteed, and that's Pittsburgh, Montreal, New Jersey, Ottawa, the New York Rangers, and the Carolina Hurricanes. In right now, but kind of iffy, are the Boston Bruins and Philly, and then on the bubble, within 5 points of those final playoff spots, are Buffalo, Washington, Florida, and Toronto. How do you see that conference shaking down?
Good question. Well, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and pick my favorite as the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sure Rob Hansen and Matt Douglas would love to hear that one. Key stat with the Canadiens is they actually lead the league in goals this year at 227 goals for.
And I wouldn't have guessed that at all. Like, outside of Kovalev, I don't see them having a lot of big scores on their team.
They have a lot of secondary help. I mean, we're going to talk about the Kostitsyn brothers are just coming into their own in the league as well. Plekanec has 63 points in 70 games this year. Kind of snuck up on everybody.
Also breakout plays, season, for sure.
Also plays a great two-way game. So, I mean, that way we got the checking line covered.
Now, you said the Canadiens are your favorite, and we're talking playoff run favorite, right, to make the Stanley Cup Finals?
Why not? I mean, you want to talk about goaltending, you can talk about Carey Price.
I have a concern there. I like Carey Price a lot. I loved what he did with Team Canada. I think he's going to be a fantastic goalie. But do you see a problem with giving a 20-year-old player trial by fire like that, going into a Stanley Cup run where he's going to have a lot of pressure on him and a not-so-great backup option if he stumbles?
First of all, I really don't think Carey Price actually has the ability to feel any emotions in the first place. If you've ever seen him in an interview, he's completely calm as if nothing has ever happened. Also, this guy has performed at the top level of every competition. You want to talk about World Juniors, he rode them to the final. You want to talk about the AHL, he's a Calder Cup MVP, rode Hamilton to the final.
Hamilton Bulldogs, I was there for one of those playoff games, that was big.
He is a key playoff performer. This guy performs big in big games, and, I mean, give him a chance. You want to talk about the Canadians giving young goaltenders a chance? Talk about Patrick Waugh in 1986. I mean, it seems to work out for him for the past. And
he's looked good, very good since the trade deadline when they traded Huey. They got a little bit they went under fire a little bit for that, but he's looked fantastic since then.
I mean, looking great. They're my favorite, as sad as it to say, as a Leafs fan.
Yeah, that's tough. If not Montreal, because they are second in the conference, is there any dark horse in the East, the team people really aren't talking about that much right now, that you could see upsetting someone in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the New York Rangers. I mean, people are starting to talk about them in their past 10 games. They've gone 7-0-3. They haven't had a regulation loss for a while. Great goaltending in Henrik Lundqvist, one of the finalists for the Vezina Trophy for the past few years.
My big beef with him, though, is that they're calling him King Henrik. Everyone knows that name belongs to someone else, LeBron James. So, points taken away for a lack of originality. Otherwise, I agree, he's a fantastic goaltender. One thing I really like about the Rangers, too, is that they've got the most favorable first-round matchup. They're the sixth seed right now, and if they can stay in that spot, that means they'll get the worst of the three division winners, the Carolina Hurricanes. And I think that's a team they can handle in pretty shortly in the first round of the playoffs.
The Rangers have a lot of grit. A lot of grit goes a long way in the playoffs. I mean, you want to talk about grit. Drury dropped the gloves the other night, stuck up for his teammates. Malik got a nice elbow to the face, and Chris Drury dropped the gloves. And, I mean, that's the spirit. That's the team attitude that you want to have going into the playoffs. Scott Gomez, another playoff performer, played with the Devils, made it to the Stanley Cup champions in his first year in the league. I mean, they have it going on right now.
They have a lot of experience, too. They've got a lot of not necessarily older players, but players who have been around the league.
And let's not take anything away from the Carolina Hurricanes, but they're absolutely pathetically brutal.
They are in a division that is much worse than the NBA's Atlantic Division was last year, when people were calling it the worst division in the history of sports. They're right about on par with the NL Central in baseball. It's a bad division, and they're barely hanging on.
Yeah. I really don't see Carolina going anywhere. If anything, I'd love to see Washington catch up, but I mean, we're looking at 7 points right now.
With 11 games to go.
Yeah, but you can't really bet against Ovechkin. I mean, this kid's on fire.
And you can't really bet on Carolina. All right, well, we spent a lot of time talking about the East there. We're going to have to go through the West a little bit quicker. It looks like probably only four teams are guaranteed a spot right now. It's a lot tighter there. You've got Detroit, San Jose, Dallas, and Anaheim looking like they're in, and then Calgary, Colorado, Minnesota, and Vancouver in right now, but Nashville and Phoenix are within 5 points of that final playoff spot as well.
Yeah, it looks pretty tight right now. I wouldn't really bet on Nashville going anywhere. They lost a lot of the players over the summer, but you can make a case for a coach of the year for Barry Trotz, but other than that, I really don't see them winning anything.
There's going to be a lot of shaking up as the standings sit right now, though. Even if those eight teams do make the playoffs, we have no idea how the first-round matchups are going to shake down because it's that tight.
It's a mess. Like right now, you want to talk about the Northwest Division, the Canucks, Minnesota, Colorado, and Calgary. I mean, there's 2 points separating them right now. And
they're going to have four playoff teams, so it's not a case of the Hurricanes Division where a team has a low point total because it's an easy division and every team sucks. This one, there's low point totals because it's so competitive.
Definitely, like, strongest division in hockey right now would be the Northwest Division. Even with the Oilers. The Oilers are on a sick run right now. It's 7-3, but...
Yeah, they're over 500. Well, every team in the NHL is over 500, I guess, with the new scoring. But that's a different topic. So your favorite come playoff time out of that conference?
All right, I'm going to go back to the old habits I've had every single year, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The San Jose Sharks are my favorite to come out in the West. I mean, Joe Thornton has to be one of the top three players in the league. Amazing presence with the puck. He can hold on to that puck forever and do pretty much whatever he wants with it.
And when you say top three, you're ranking him just behind Nick Antropov and Alexei Ponikarovsky?
Actually, just behind Yuri Talusi and Hal Gill, but good guesses there. So yeah, I'm going to talk about the Sharks. Like, Chichu's 2 years removed from a 56-goal season. Huge pickup at the deadline with Brian Campbell. They were struggling with goals for. Boost up their power play, which is crucial in the playoffs.
I think their X factor for the playoffs is they've got to start getting some production out of Patrick Marleau. He's been someone on the verge of superstardom for the last three or four seasons, and this year he's completely disappeared.
Yeah, having said that, though, I mean, in the past seven games, he's racked up 7 points. He's slowly coming on. That's not quite the pace of a superstar, per se, but he provides that secondary presence, like secondary scoring center. I mean, he has the tools, and we know in the past that he can do it. The playoffs are a completely different season. I mean, who knows what could happen? I'm picking them to go to the Cup final.
I like the logic behind it. I'm going to go with the Ducks to repeat again. I think when you can have Pronger and Niedermeyer on the ice most of the game, and then the rest of your defense core is also excellent, it's going to be tough to score goals on them. They have a great goaltender, and they can put the puck in the net a little bit, not as much as the other playoff teams in the West, but they've got to be probably the top defensive team in the league.
I would put, yeah, the Ducks is probably my second favorite. The thing is, looking at the standings right now, they have a tough first-round matchup with Dallas. But the thing that I really like about San Jose, you want to talk playoffs, goaltending is the most important position, especially in the playoffs. And Evgeny Nabokov is definitely the Vezina Trophy favorite for this year. He's had an amazing season.
He's been unreal.
Amazing season, and I mean, I don't see any reason for it to not continue through the playoffs.
All right, well, we swallowed our pride here a little bit and talked about other teams' chances in the playoffs, both of us being Leaf fans. When we come back, we're going to talk Leafs and what's in the future for them. Can a nigga get a table dance? Take it up, take it up, woo! Are back, and now that we've talked about the good teams in the NHL, it's time to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Completely different category. Paul, right now they sit 5 points out of the final playoff spot in the East. It's not as good as that sounds because there's still three teams between them and the number eight spot, and they've only got 10 games left.
It's just so tough being a Leafs fan right now. I can't decide if I'm watching the games because I want to see them lose to see if we can get possibly in the Stamkos sweepstakes. But I mean, I'm watching them right now. I mean, 5 points out. Say they go on a three-game winning streak, and say Philly goes on a three-game losing streak. I mean, you can't say it's done, especially when you have Matt Sundin playing as one of the best players in the NHL in the past month. Anything can happen. If you keep winning, I mean, if they just keep winning, who really knows? Why not?
All you have to do is win your own games, leave the rest up to fate. And the Leafs have a lot of their fate in their own hands. Unfortunately, they don't play Philly in one of these last 10 games, but Boston is only 6 points ahead of them, and they're sitting in a number seven seed. The Leafs play them twice. They play Buffalo three times, who's also ahead of them in the standings and fighting for one of those last spots. Unfortunately, they've got 4 games against division rivals Montreal and Ottawa, so those will be a little tougher, but they also have one gimme against the Islanders. So it's not impossible to think the Leafs could sneak in here.
It would be amazing. It'd be even more amazing if they could sneak into eighth place and somehow Ottawa is able to take their sticks out of their asses and get in first place. It would be just a gimme series.
Well, because then we would get in the second round. There's no way Ottawa beats the Leafs.
I mean, really, do they even have any goaltending? Is there anybody there that could even stop the puck?
All right, now that said, the Leafs do have a shot, and obviously that's better from a business standpoint, and it's better from a standpoint of 2008. However, looking forward, the Leafs don't seem to be that well served by making the playoffs. It's not a secret that middling teams that either just make the playoffs and lose in the first round or just miss out on a playoff race aren't that well suited to build for the future because they're not getting a top pick. This year's draft is supposed to be pretty good, and if the Leafs miss the playoffs, they're going to be picking in the, probably in the 8 to 12 range, and there's some really good players they could get in there.
It's not that bad of a position to be in. I mean, there's a few good players there. You want to talk about Nikita Filatov, who's a top Russian prospect. Had 9 points in 10 games in the World Juniors this season.
3 of them in the bronze medal game.
Absolutely.
Against the U.S. It was a fantastic performance.
And the thing with him, or with Russian prospects in general, is right now there isn't an agreement between the IIHF and the NHL with the transfer agreement with getting Russian players over. So a lot of teams may pass on a more talented player.
He might be a top 5 talent, but teams are afraid that he's not going to be able to get out of his CSKA Moscow contract.
They've been talking about him as a top 5 talent since the beginning of the season. I mean, even in the World Juniors, like, he showed that he is capable. If he can somehow sneak down there and if we are able to steal him over from Russia, that is a huge pick. That's one of the top forwards in the draft, and just because we don't get Stamkos, we get another player who could easily, I mean, come close to how Stamkos
could be. Yeah, Stamkos is the number one prospect, but we've seen before that that doesn't necessarily mean he'll be the best player out of this draft. He's probably the safest pick, but, you know, Filatov may have a higher upside.
Another player that's going to fall into that range is Luke Shen, who's a nice stay-at-home defenseman who plays for the Kelowna Rockets.
And he's from Saskatchewan. I believe you played with his brother before.
His brother is a dirty little tool.
A douchebag, if you will.
I do believe I did say douchebag before. there's nothing I enjoyed better than sticking him in the back of the knees. Anyways, Luke Shen, great defenseman. You want to talk about, doesn't make a mistake. So, I mean, he's someone that we're not going to have Brian McCabe, you know, passing the puck out in front anymore. We'll have Luke Shen playing it high and hard off the glass. Dump and chase kind of style and player. Nice physical presence
as well.
And
we'll finally have some wheels on the blue line, someone who's who can catch up with the play. Now, people say that the Leafs don't have a lot of good prospects. We don't have we haven't had a rookie of the year contender for quite a while. But I was doing a little bit of research, and the Leafs have 4 prospects ranked in the top 70 of NHL prospects, which is well more than their share. They also have an additional 4 ranked in the top 200. So 8 in the top 200 is a good rate, but 4 in the top 70, all guys who have played a little bit. You have Anton Strahlman, Jeremy Williams, Kalinin, and Yuri Tulusi, who all project to be pretty good NHL players.
I mean, give him some time. Like, Tulusi is obviously, he's up playing with the big boys right now, but he's only 19 years old. He's got a long way to go. He's showed
a lot
some,
of maturing to do.
A lot of maturing, a lot of...
a lot more censorship on his Facebook account.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, has anybody ever seen those? Wait, I think Adam Clemente actually saw the unrated version of his pictures.
Adam loved it and talked about how Tulusi handles a stick.
It was amazing how he could describe it in such great detail. It was
veiny detail.
Yes, he described the position of the veins.
Oh, we're getting a little carried away. Let's get back on track a little bit. So they've got prospects. They've got a good shot at getting a decent player in the draft. Maybe even if they sneak into that playoff spot. But the biggest thing on Leafs fans' mind right now, for this season and the future, what happens with Matt Sundin this offseason? He's a free agent, his contract comes off the books, and he's talked about retiring.
I'm going to be incredibly frustrated if he retires. Just to see the package that Hossa got at the deadline, who knows? We could have been set for the future if we were able to deal him. I mean, he had the no-trade clause in his contract. It's his right to waive that no-trade clause. Just give us one more year, man. Give us one more year of hope. Lead our team. You said you wanted to do it from start to finish. Do it again next year. It's going to be a new season, new hope. Who says we can't make the playoffs and go on a cup run?
Yeah, everyone wants to go out with a good last season. And I think the Leafs are in a position that they would be able to do that next year. They got rid of some bad contracts at the deadline. They've got a few extra draft picks and some good young players coming up. And I don't think it's a long shot to see Matt Sundin in a Leaf uniform next year on a one-year contract.
He has something to prove. Like, you saw how he's been playing after the deadline, one of the best players in the NHL. I mean, so he has something to prove, and he's going to want to do it again next year. Another thing that we have going for us is Vesa Toskala. He's been playing great all year.
He's been unreal.
We've had horrible team defense at the start, but now it's starting to show. I mean, this guy is a quality top 10 goaltender in the league. And if we can ride him hot down the stretch, why can't we go on a playoff run? Why can't, as Leafs fans, we be happy about what's going to happen next year?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about sports, is that even if your team's been pretty bad for 41 years, you still have hope.
Just like I have hope on hopefully getting laid this weekend.
Yeah, probably not going to happen, but hey, there's hope. That is real talk to all y'all.
And any time that you own them streets, you better keep your hand on them beats and live what you're saying on them beats. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. It's really, 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 really 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 real talk. Nigga.